Contract killings, murderers released early from prison, and fear Martin Luther King's killer could be back on the streets. All for the right price, because prisoners had the money to pay. Traced to a corrupt governor's administration, one of Tennessee's most notorious scandals is also one of its best-kept secrets. Until now. This is a WVLT Originals, a Tennessee Waltz, Ray Blanton's Last Dance. Hi, I'm Brittany Tarwater. In this episode, blood on the hands of the Blanton administration as thousands of dollars is paid for the promise of freedom and growing fears that Martin Luther King's killer could get out next. While the cash for clemency scandal was catching the attention of the FBI, Lamar Alexander was hoping to catch the attention of Tennesseans.
I think the people can make their own judgment. I've got confidence in the intelligence of the voters.
The 38-year-old was on the campaign trail, trying to sway Tennesseans to vote a Republican into office as its next governor.
Now, literally walked across the state. I started in Maryville, walked to Mountain City, and I spent the night with 73 different families, most of whom I hadn't known before. It really helped me win the election and helped me be a better governor.
I think people have made their minds up based on sizing us up.
Alexander beat out the Democrat Jake Butcher from Knoxville by more than 100,000 votes. And without Blanton seeking re-election, Lamar Alexander would be Tennessee's 45th governor.
Alexander says the poll taking, major campaign rallies.
As Alexander was preparing to take over office in a little more than a month, the FBI zeroed in even more on the Blanton administration and the mounting evidence of a cash for clemency scandal. FBI special agents Hank Hillen and Richard Knudsen were working the case, naming the investigation codename TenPAR, accusing some of the men working for Blanton of using the governor's office as a criminal enterprise, arranging roughly $300,000 in bribes to reduce the sentences of nearly 20 prisoners, or for the right price, set them free.
These people were being contacted by, quote, representatives of the administration type thing, and that if money would be paid, why somebody could be gotten out. It was that type of situation.
I actually got a visit.
Defense attorney Jack Lowry was representing Will Midget, who was serving time for second-degree murder from a deadly car crash, when he got a visit at his office from a man who called himself Bob Roundtree.
And it was a Friday afternoon, kind of rainy, and just about quitting time. This guy comes in, he's smoking a cigar, got on a flowery shirt. He said, I understand you've also applied for executive clemency. I said, yeah. He said, I think I can be of some help to you. I said, you can? He said, yes. And he stood up at that time and pulled out a wad of money out of his pocket. He said, I need to keep this conversation confidential, and I need to hire you as my lawyer. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, $20,000, and I can give you the date he'll be released, and he won't have to go to Florida. And when he said he won't have to go to Florida, I thought, oh, hell. He's at X. Nobody knew about that. It's in that report. Marie, Eddie, and me were the only people that I think at that time had seen my report. So about 7 o'clock that night, I called Marie Reggiani. I remember, I've got her number. Called her at home. I told her the story, and I won't ever forget what she said. I described the guy to her, told him what had happened. She said, oh my God, I don't know how high this goes.
It verifies to us that this situation is going to involve the highest part of the Tennessee state government.
That has now spawned an ever-widening federal investigation.
We have several other people during the course of the investigation are telling us these things that are happening. And it always comes back to Eddie Sisk.
Eddie Sisk, the legal advisor to the governor on all matters, including pardons and clemencies, accused of lying to the Pardons and Paroles Board on several occasions to convince them to draw up paperwork to let prisoners out early. Prisoners like murderer Larkin Bibbs Jr., who admitted to paying $15,000 to get out after serving just 4 months of a 10 to 15 year prison sentence. And William Scharf on death row. The FBI says was told his death sentence could be reduced to 10 years for $45,000. Diamond rings, coin collections, and a grandfather clock, all used as alleged payment to stop armed robbers from being extradited to Georgia.
The money involved was $10,000 to get a friend or a loved one out of prison. There was one case that I remember where the amount of money involved was $90,000.
That's how greedy they were, that here comes the money and he's gone.
Court records show Sisk tried to cut a deal with John Henry Gant for $20,000, a man serving time for first-degree murder for the shooting death of a four-year-old girl.
I was working with the FBI, and they were sharing information with me about it. They were taking promissory notes on some of the releases of some of those prisoners. People couldn't pay. They were taking damn promissory notes, if you can imagine.
Commutation papers for dozens of inmates, several serving time for murder, were accused of paying between $2,000 and almost $100,000 in what was dubbed a release ring, or making their way to the governor's desk.
There was an abundance of evidence that, this prisoner was involved in these discussions with these representatives of the conspiracy.
I really think my case was the first test. I think they were going to test that situation with me because Eddie knew me.
Federal indictments were executed in a surprise announcement by the FBI, which made a raid on the state capitol building.
The FBI seemed to be taking everything they could get their hands on. The agents came prepared, carrying boxes to haul away documents pertaining to the pardons and parole system.
December 15, 1978, the FBI raided the Capitol, arresting three Blanton aides, including Eddie Sisk, caught with marked $100 bills in his pocket.
Already seen three Blanton aides arrested and thousands of state records seized.
Three of Blanton's aides were indicted in the parole for pay scandal.
Mr. T. Edward Sisk was arrested.
Also arrested, Blanton bodyguard and Tennessee Highway Patrol Lieutenant Fred Taylor, the accused middleman between prospective buyers of clemency and Eddie Sisk.
Also, Charles Benson.
And extradition officer Charles Benson, who worked directly under Eddie Sisk. He was arrested just before boarding a flight at the Nashville airport, caught carrying clemency papers for Rusty Denton, who was serving 60 years for a triple murder out of Cock County known as the Red Lantern Massacre, convicted of opening fire at a nightclub early Christmas morning in 1975. The FBI says $85,000 was already paid to cut his 60-year sentence to 9, but agents feared another deal was on the table. For $40,000 more, he could be a free man.
The audacity that somebody is infamous as Rusty Denton, and here he is up for a commutation, really bothered me.
In 1981, Eddie Sisk and Fred Taylor pled guilty to conspiring to sell clemencies to inmates, each sentenced to 5 years in prison.
Tennessee Highway Patrolman Charles Frederick Taylor, age 40, a 15-year veteran with the Highway Patrol stationed here in Nashville.
Why? Why'd you do it? Get involved with
somebody? Why did I get involved?
Yeah.
Temptation of all that money.
I guess that's the thing I've never understood. You were carrying the badge at that time.
I don't understand it either, Dick.
Yeah, you know, and it's as hard as we'd all work. Our various agencies together to get involved in it. I'm just curious of what happened to you.
I don't understand it either. I just failed at the temptation of the large amounts of money. saw other people spending a lot of money, and me, and a policeman with his own policeman's salary running around with them and pouring money on him. I've looked back on it and tried to figure out why the hell I did it, you know.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be stronger than that. I always thought I was.
Okay.
I never took a quarter.
Just tell him that.
Never took a quarter in my life.
Charles Benson was acquitted.
He was just working there, and he did what Eddie told him to do. Eddie told him to get these documents signed. He testified that that day that they were arrested, Fred had called back from Memphis and asked to speak to Charlie. And Fred says something to the effect that these documents are not signed and, you know, the guy's not going to pay until the documents are signed. Charlie's position was Eddie was in the room and he handed Eddie the phone. Charlie, that's what Charlie testified to, that, you know, it was the deal between Eddie and Fred.
Governor Blanton continued to deny any knowledge of the scheme, but the FBI was not convinced this was the end.
Chattanooga business owner Sam Pettyjohn was shot to death outside the club he owned on Market.
The governor's office was involved in the killing of one of the people who knew the most about the pardon and parole scandal.
In 2021, Blanton's office was connected to the murder of Samuel Pettyjohn, who was secretly providing information to the FBI.
This guy had been a really, you know, good informant, had helped send people to us and stuff like that. So we're going, this thing's not ended yet.
He was paid by former Tennessee Governor Ray Blanton's administration to kill Pettyjohn.
There were two or three other mysterious murders during that period of time that still, I mean, there's no answer for.
He was just one more person. We had several people, and I don't remember everybody, who had died prematurely or had been killed involved in this investigation.
Bob Roundtree, whose real name was William Aubrey Thompson, was convicted for his role in the parole buying scheme. He agreed to cooperate with the FBI under one condition. The FBI couldn't ask him about Pettyjohn's murder.
It confirmed to me how pervasive and illegal and corrupt this was, how many people were involved, how much was at stake, and how deep it went.
Coming up, more than 50 prisoners, many of them murderers, are set free in the middle of the night. And Governor Blanton promises more are on the way. With concerns that Memphis's most famous killer could be set free, a secret plan goes in place to stop it.
He had granted executive clemency to another 52 prisoners, including 26 murderers.
His 99-year sentence for first-degree murder commuted.
Let's ask him about James Earl Ray, who kills Martin Luther King. How much would it cost to get Ray out?
Did you sign any papers tonight?
Sure did.
How many?
Could he empty the entire prison? He said yes.
And what the hell are you going to do about it? And I said, you don't want to know.
Do you have questions, your own memories, or stories from this time in Tennessee history that you'd like to share with us? We'd love to hear from you. Go to WVLT.tv to send them our way.